Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
I want to share with you, because I'm not going to preach to you long tonight. I'm going to try my best to give you my word on that. Said every preacher ever. I'm not. But we are in the middle of a fast called by Pastor Harmon. And I have to be honest with you, and I've been here for 14 years, and I don't necessarily remember the last time that Pastor called a church-wide fast. So that tells me, if God is prompting Pastor Harmon to call a church-wide fast, there is a reason that God is calling us to a church-wide fast. So I'm thinking about this throughout the day, and I'm considering what's happening in our church right now. And I'm praying over our church, and I'm thinking about what God is doing, and I'm trying my best to fast and get to that place with God. And when I started to think about the fasting and what it is, and clearly what fasting is sacrifice. How much am I willing to give to receive what He's willing to give? That's the question. Where's the balance? Because He's going to meet me wherever I meet Him. If it's everything I have, He's giving me everything I have. If I don't give Him everything I have, then it's my regulation that stops Him from being God of my life. It's up to me. And so I started to pray, God, what are you doing in our church right now? And you know what He told me? He said, I'm regulating inheritance. That's what He said. He said, there have been promises and prophecies and words and encouragements and all these things over the years, over and over and over. These all have happened. And now I'm ready to give them. But now I need to see who wants them. Who desires those things? Who wants to be the king of this city? I remember the first message that I preached at this church. I'll never forget it. Because I walked into the church, or I was driving back from Indiana with Brother Porterfield's wedding. My wife was asleep. She was pregnant. Brandon Jones, who traveled with me a lot then, he was also asleep. Ethan's the only guy that travels with me that stays awake. Look forward to our next trip. But to be fair, the Lord did talk to me, so maybe I do need some people sleeping too. I also fear for my life a lot of times because we be in and out a little bit. But nonetheless, we were on our way back, and the Lord spoke to me concerning this church 14 years ago. And He gave me the title of that message. I don't remember how I preached it. But He said the title of that message was Becoming King of Your Calling. And that's what I feel is exactly what is happening to our church. Our church has never been in a better position to be the king of our calling. We just haven't been. The people are here. The qualifications of people are here. The preachers are here. The singers are here. The musicians are here. The saints are here. Everybody's in position. But God's standing at the edge of heaven saying, who wants it? So I'm calling a fast. Who wants a sacrifice? The word altar is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. It started, Noah builds an altar. Abraham builds an altar. Isaac builds an altar. Jacob builds an altar. What's on my altar tonight? That's the question that God is asking. In the middle of this, and we're going to pray in just a second, then I'm going to let you be seated. But in the middle of this fast, God is asking us, what are you willing to place on this altar? Because that's what this fast is about. It's an altar. What's going on this altar? And I pray today, God. We don't beg God. We don't be like, please, God, please. We don't do that. He's our Father. Malia doesn't have to beg me to do stuff for her. I want to do stuff for her. But I gotta make sure that I am prepared to receive that. And so I'm asking God today, Lord, help me to put it all on the altar. I don't want to hold anything back from you. And where we are and what you're trying to do. God, there is great deliverance in what's happening right now. There's great future in what's happening right now. And I don't want to be left standing beside the revival and know people who got experiences in the revival. I want to experience myself. I want to see the fire come down from heaven. I want to be a part of the miracle that God's going to do in my life. I want to be a part of the miracle that God does in your life. I believe it's going to happen. So God, help me to place it on the altar. Help me. Two things we need to pray for tonight that I know of for sure. And if we're going to be people of sacrifice and we're going to be people of prayer, then we have to be people of faith. Why would we fast if we didn't have faith? Why would we be doing this stuff if we didn't believe God would do it? So while we're doing this stuff, and this is a collective special moment for us right now, we need to pray. Our pastor is injured. I don't know the whole extent of the injury. I know that his back is hurting enough for him not to be here, and I can count on in 14 years how many times my pastor's missed service on both of these hands. And that's counting the vacations we literally had to push them out the door to go on. So he's hurting. There's no question that he's hurting. And he called me, messaged me about 5 o'clock and said, I was going to try to make it. I can't. And that's why you see me here right now. So, but I count it as an honor, but I'm saddened of why. So we're going to pray for our pastor. We're going to agree together that God is going to touch him where he is, and he's going to be instantly healed. I have to believe that God will do that. I am persuaded that God can do it. I am persuaded that he will do it. So we're going to bind together right now in prayer. God, I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus, you see my pastor. You see where he's at. You see what's happened. I don't know what's not aligned and what is aligned. I don't know what issue is going on in his body. But what I do know is that we serve an all-time powerful God that can do anything. So I'm asking right now that supernatural healing would flow from heaven right now into my pastor's body, and it would heal him right now. Lord Jesus, we know you can do it. We're speaking your name. In the name of Jesus, it is done. And I've heard stories that Brother Morgan told about Brother Harmon. I've heard it a couple days ago. Said that they went and prayed for that lady who was about to die. And Brother Morgan and Brother Harmon go into that hospital room. And Brother Morgan speaks healing over her and they leave. And he makes a joke when they leave. Brother Harmon said, was that it? Brother Harmon told the same story. He's like, was that it? And Brother Morgan's like, what'd you expect? I can't do it. It don't matter how loud I get or how much I yell. I just want to speak it, and I want it to happen. And why can't it, if there's rivers of living water flowing out of my belly, why can't that happen? Because a lot of times you and I have stuff in our mind, and we're like, well, it can't happen. I'm asking, why can't it not happen? I know the reasons of why it shouldn't, but I've just seen God do so much. I'm trying to get back on. Dreams have a realistic cost, and there's an altar sitting before our church this evening of sacrifice, and our pastor called it fast, and God is letting us know, I'm getting ready to give out some inheritance. What do you want? And it's happened in the Bible. Solomon stands, and God asks him, what do you want? Let me have wisdom. Would it be, God, let it be that we stand in that position with God, that we found favor with him, that he could ask us, what do you want? And you could just tell him, and he could do it, because he can, and I believe that he will. Amen. I'm going to read to you. I have 3 verses, and that's all. But I'm going to give you my heart tonight. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 19. The Bible says, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, talking about Potiphar, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, talking about Joseph, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Tonight, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to talk to us on the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Let's pray together one more time. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for every singer, every musician. I thank you for every saint that's in this house. God, we want you to do whatever you want to do. We are opening our spirits to you, God. I'm asking you to speak to my spirit. Help me to speak your word. Help us to receive, God, and to respond to your word and allow you to work in our lives. We're going to give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it, God. We speak your name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. One other thing that I did fail to mention, we need to make sure that we are in prayer for Sister Chloe and Matthew. We talked a little bit before service. Her grandfather, I believe, was having some health issues, so much so that he was airlifted to Tupelo. Is that right? Tupelo. And they are there now. So let's make sure that we're praying for them and keeping them in our prayers. And so, everybody say, the Lord is with us. I have to be honest with you tonight. Again, I don't plan on preaching very long, and I do have to say that I feel to speak on a difficult disposition this evening. In the case of Joseph, he had what we'd call a calling on his life. We all have a calling on our life. If you didn't know, you know tonight. You have a calling on your life. God is calling us to do a work for the kingdom. He was called to lead his family, to be a good voice for his people. His aspirations were high and his heart was filled with good intentions. However, there was one problem that Joseph did have. He didn't have a night season. A night season, that's a great word, isn't it? Sounds cool. Night season, nobody likes it. And if you do like it, you can have mine if you want it. I ask God to give it to you. You just say, let me have it, and I'll give it to you. The problem is that between every man and every woman and her destiny is a night season. It's just the way that it is, and Joseph had yet to endure it. You see, Joseph had dreams of his sheaf rising above the rest. He had dreams of the sun and the moon and the 11 stars making obeisance to him. In fact, the only thing Joseph did not have in his life right now to set him apart was a night season. We do not like night seasons. I don't like night seasons. I, again, would rather not, but nonetheless, I tend to pray the prayer that Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. If we follow Genesis 39 through 39, or 37 through 39, we'll see that before Joseph is elevated, he is greatly abased. His brothers put him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Can we just be real tonight that sometimes we got some family problems? Sometimes we got issues in our family, our own family, and it hurts. And we start to build up walls and we start to deal with issues that turn into other issues if we don't handle them properly. This is a society that is built on emotional damage. And we as the church should not carry that culture with us. We should recognize there are real issues when we deal with families and friends and things of that nature. And my brother might say something that I don't like. They might do something that I don't like. They might be wrong. They might be right. But nonetheless, I have to guard my spirit. I have to make sure that I live in liberty. And if I don't have forgiveness in my spirit, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I am not going to walk in liberty. And if I take a step into the pit and I don't have freedom in my spirit, I'm never leaving the pit. And God forbid that we take a road that leads us into the pit that don't lead us out of the pit. Sadly, it happens. There are pages created and things stated on social media, which is the world we live in, talking about church hurt. I'm not saying it don't happen. I'm saying it shouldn't be able to happen. I'm saying that there really shouldn't be anything Jake does to me that stops me from getting out of the pit. I want to go with him together, but if somewhere along the line we got to separate because he said something and got in his spirit, I need to be able to keep going. No offense. I want you to go with me, but I'm not stopping for anybody. They sold him into slavery, sold him out. His master believed the lies of an evil woman and took them as the gospel and tossed him into prison. This man is sitting, betrayed by his brothers, his family. Brothers, to be betrayed is very difficult to accept because I'm very close with my brother and I feel honored and blessed that I have my brother, but I'm very close with him. And if he were to stab me in the back or cut my heart out, it would kill me. So I can't even conceive the fact of my brother changing and turning on me. But nonetheless, Joseph's brothers did. They sold him into slavery. And then he gets linked up with this master because he's a servant now. And his wife tries to seduce Joseph, and he just refuses. I'm not going to be a part of that. And he still gets accused, and he still gets judged for it. And nevertheless, he was an honorable slave. He was favored servant of Potiphar until that moment. And he even became promoted in the prison. All these things happen, and I don't know about you, but I go through life and I see situations, and it almost feels like every time I feel like we've turned the curve, every time I think the miracles is about to show up, every time I think we're about to take that step, it seems like another obstacle finds its way in the path. And so I consider Joseph. And I consider the things that we deal with. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't know how you feel about it. But have you ever just felt like you're just right there? It's about to happen. And then all of a sudden, something changes. Something takes a left turn when it should have went right. Something went down when it should have went up. And I'm still standing here. The room is still the same. The doors are still the same. The atmosphere is still. Nothing changed. And I thought that it was about to happen. And it just didn't happen. That's where Joseph finds himself. But then the Bible reads out in verse 21, and I feel to encourage somebody tonight. So that's what I'm going to spend my time doing. I'm going to give my best effort to encourage you tonight. Because in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and shewed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph was forced to make a decision in the darkness. I don't think they had electricity. You can write me if I'm wrong. So what was happening in the night when he was locked in a jail cell, when he was in prison? What was happening? You think that lantern just stayed lit the whole time? Maybe it did. But maybe it didn't. And then when it became dark and he sat there, for 2 years, he sits innocently in a jail cell. Now, we read how faithful Joseph was, and we read how great of a character this man had, but we also have to understand, it don't matter how great you are, how much faith you got, you're still human. We're still going to think, man, I wish it was different this way. I wish I didn't have to deal with these issues. I wish this thing would just work itself out. I don't know why it's got to be this way. And I can only imagine, I think that way sometimes about my job. Or, I'm just throwing an example, I love my job, I don't mean like that. Although I do have to leave at 4 a.m. tomorrow with her brother. Because I'm the star teacher, in case y'all didn't know. He's the star student and he chose me to be the star teacher, so, I mean, I'm just whatever. That's costing me to make me drive at 4 a.m. though, so I don't know if... But I think that way. I think that way about, you know, work or you know, if something don't go right during hunting season, you know, like, you know, or something random, I'd be complaining like that. Like, man, what I got to be like this for? Can't it just work out? This man's sitting in prison for 2 years. After being lied on for being a servant, he never was supposed to be a servant. He had dreams. He had aspirations. He was supposed to stand with his sheep above everybody else. The whole atmosphere, everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, they were supposed to bow down to him. And where is Joseph? Man, I'm here in prison. And it ain't been an easy road to prison. Prison might be the easiest thing that's happened to me so far. Got thrown in a pit, beat up by my brother, sold into slavery. I was a servant for a while. Now I'm in prison and it seems like an escape. That's terrible. Prison feels like an escape. That's a problem. And he's sitting there in the dark. And you can be rest assured that there are times in my life and there are times in your life when there's the lights go off and it's dark. And there ain't a preacher there encouraging you. And there's not a song playing on the radio or through your iPhone. There's not someone there from the church telling you, hey, I'm praying for you. And there's something that there's voices from your adversary saying, look at you, big dreamer. Look at you. Look what great things you've done. You sure did you good to have faith. Sure did you good to dream like that. What did it end up getting you? Prison. And there's just going to have to become a time in your life that even though it's dark and even though you don't understand, you're going to say, devil, my dream is not for sale. I'm not selling it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I got to go through. God is with me. So if I got to be in a pit, then take me to the pit. If I got to go to Potiphar's process, take me there. Whatever it takes, God is with me. I've made up my mind. My dream is not for sale. It's not for sale. I don't know why the Bible doesn't talk about the humanity of Joseph. I don't know why it doesn't show more details and that sort of thing, because I feel like maybe there could be significance there. But at the end of the day, what I do know is that he looked at his situation and he said, my dream is not for sale. I'm not giving up on this. You might put me in a pit, but I'm coming out. You might rejoice against me, but I'm coming out. Can you imagine the emotional roller coaster that he faced each time he thought life was getting getting better and only to see another bad report come through in a situation not work out again? He just kept thinking it was going to happen and didn't. And he kept thinking it was going to happen, and then it didn't. It just kept happening over and over. And he's sitting there innocently in a prison. And then we get to a situation, and maybe you can't relate, but I can. We read words like favor. He had favor of God. He was a trusted keeper of the prison. That's great, except for that it is still prison. Like, we can fancy it up. We can make it pretty. We can say he was favored, and he had a pat on his back from the guy in charge. The only problem is the guy in charge was in charge of a prison. I love to have favor, but I love to have favor in the palace. I don't want to have favor in the prison. And the problem is that a lot of times we talk about favor, and people who have experienced favor start to cringe a little bit, because they understand favor comes with a beautifully painted target on your back. And oftentimes people that want to be, that are favored, they're not trying to be favored. They're just trying to walk with God. And Joseph's here, he's just trying to walk with God. He had a vision. He had some dreams from God. And he's just wearing his coat, minding his business, being his father's son. And all of a sudden that favor paints a target on his back, and he can't seem to get out of the way of it. And it takes him to the pit. And it takes him to the prison. And it takes him down to a dark place. And so favor becomes fearful, because favor is not always fair. People are always like, must be nice to be the leader of Egypt or the leader of Israel, talking to Moses. Moses over there can't even hardly talk straight. Like, you know what I got to do to be here? You know what it cost me? I am completely vulnerable to you every time I open my mouth. I got to stand up. I beg God not to make me do this. I didn't want this. I beg God to. He had to send Aaron with me to make me feel a little bit better about it. Favor isn't always fair, but when it comes through, it comes through. And I just want to give you a word tonight. Favor always comes through. It always comes through. Man, it could be falling apart. I'm talking about Joseph, but we could pull any Bible character you wanted to. But it could be falling apart and things going crazy and all kind of stuff happening. And God say, okay, time's up. You've been in prison for a while. How about I just make you king over everything except for Pharaoh? Overnight. Let me echo the sentiments of verse 21 into your atmospheres tonight, into the atmosphere of this church tonight. God is with us. God is with us. It will not matter what we go through. It will not matter what we have to battle and overcome. It won't matter the mountain that comes into our way. It won't matter the obstacle. We are going to see the supernatural things of God. This church will not be here later, because we're going to build a bigger one. It's going to fill up. We're going to see people get the Holy Ghost. We're going to see deliverance. We're going to see people set free and healed. God is going to do a work, because God is with us. God is with us. My dream is not for sale. It's not for sale. I don't care what my situation says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what my feelings feel like. I don't care about anything. What I care about is if God is for me. You know it? You know it? But we act like we don't sometimes, right? We're like, we know what the Bible says. If God is for me, what can be against me, right? But when we're in the middle of it, we're like, man, it feels like everything's against me. That's what we say. That's how we really feel. It feels like the world's caving in on me. But the truth is, God is standing over me saying, it's not going to fall down on you. I'm going to hold it off. I'm going to make sure you get out of this. But there's got to be a night season so you know what it's like to be favored. There's got to be a night season. David looks at Goliath. And so I was like, you can't fight that man. He's a warrior since his youth. You're still a youth. And David said, well, that lion, I killed him. That wasn't no big deal. That bear, that was not a problem. And then he makes the statement that you all know. He said, basically, but who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What is he saying? What's that mean? Why you got to put that out there for? Because he's not of the covenant people. He's not favored. So what is a favored man against an unfavored man? I'm not going at him with a spear and a sword. I'm coming to him in the name of the Lord. And what I'm going to do to him is going to be echoed. I'm going to kill my 10,000s. God is with us. I'm hurrying to a close. Told y'all, I'm not going to go long. He had sat in a prison cell for 2 years before something would change. Every day he sat in the prison, he had to stare and think. But I'll share the same idea with you tonight. God is with us. Even though we haven't quite turned the corner yet, and it seems like the dream is still in limbo. Because one of the hardest problems with God is God says, hey, I'm going to show you what it's going to be like when you get there, and then not tell you about anything in between. It's like little by little. You can trust me. I'm going to take care of you, but I ain't telling you nothing. You're just going to have to trust me. And I do trust him. He has never failed me. Not one time in my life has he ever not showed up when I needed him to. It don't matter if it was to get a car. It don't matter if I needed some gas or the check didn't come in. It didn't matter if my babies got sick. It didn't matter what. God has always showed up. So I'm just going to tell you now, like I've been telling since then, God is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's going to be with us to the end. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I encourage you tonight to go ahead and lay another piece on the altar. Go ahead and lay another sacrifice and say, God, I believe it. I believe it. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you pray with me right now? Favor sits upon this church. Favor sits upon this church. And there are many miracles. There are many situations that have not worked out that will work out. But it's going to be for his glory. And he's going to do it so that we can all see and say, it was God. I will receive no credit because I will not have control. I won't know when it comes and I won't know when it goes. I'll just know God did it. Here's what I know about your dream. Genesis 41 and 1. This excited me today. I'm not going to lie about it. And it came to pass, as I read across it, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed. You know all those questions that were in Joseph's mind about what good did it do you to dream? What good did it do you? Sounds a little bit different now, doesn't it? Man, he was familiar with the dreams, and Pharaoh had a dream. The most important guy around had a dream. You know what that tells me? That a dream got him into that mess, and a dream got him out. The most important thing you can understand right now is no matter where this starts and no matter where this ends, I'm not stopping the dream in the middle. I'm going to keep on dreaming. That's why I'm telling you right now, my dream is not for sale. My dream is not for sale. The aspirations that I have in ministry, the aspirations I have for my family, the aspirations that I have for this church, what I've been thinking about, what I've been praying about, what I've been sacrificing about, what I've been believing for, my dream is not for sale. God is big enough to do it. God can do anything. I believe He'll make a way. He can step in. He can remove whatever's... God, I trust you. I believe you, God. You can do anything. You're able. You're able. You're able. God is with us. God is with us. Come help me out, Dano, if you don't care. Don't play nothing down, though. I ain't trying to cry. We on the other side of the prison now. We done talked about the... This is why I just feel it so strongly. That is, if we have the revelation that happened in that moment when we read that, Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Man, there was one guy in prison that could figure that out. You know why? He had a track record. There was a butler and a baker that came in there. He told them what was going to happen. And it happened exactly like they said. What'd that do for him? Nothing. They forgot about him until it came convenient. Until it came that God said, you know what? Now it's time for me to prove what favor can really do. I'll put you in prison for 2 years, but you'll live the rest of your life in favor. Now you might be going through something right now for a little bit of a space of time, but would it be worth it if God, when he got ready, said, okay, now for the rest of your life, I'm going to remove this from you and you will never have to see prison again. I'm not saying he didn't have issues. I ain't saying he didn't get concerned. He told his brother and him, don't be telling Pharaoh, y'all shepherds, tell him y'all cattlemen or something. Don't be telling him that stuff. He was worried, but they did it anyways, whatever. I ain't saying he never worried again, but I can tell you one thing, the man never smelled what prison was like ever again. And I can tell you when God is ready to work out your situation, you will never have to deal with it again. He did the same thing for Moses in the Red Sea. He said, whenever I wash these guys out, you'll never have to fight this battle again. They'll never track you down again. And I'm telling you tonight in the Holy Ghost that if you will not give up on your dream, you will, at the moment God is ready, he will step in and he'll say, now I'm ready, and you'll never have to worry about this again. I feel it so strongly in the whole. Can we stand across the house tonight? No, I'm going to cry with this. No. We need some. Give me something. Shout. Give me some. I don't care. Give me some of that old stuff. I am not going to be defeated. Because greater. I believe it. It's not just words that I say. I believe that greater. Yeah. That's a good note. Well, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. What am I saying? I'm saying God is with us. That's what I'm saying. And I know I'm being like, you know, funny about it, but I'm only being like that because that's the way I'm serious. Like, I'm telling the adversary, I'm telling us, God looks on this church with favor. God can step in at any moment. Whenever he gets ready, I want to make sure that I'm ready. So I want to make sure that I am projecting to you. We need to make sure our spirits are high, our faith is open, and we're saying, God, not only am I going to receive or hear the word, I'm going to be a doer of it. I'm not going to, pastor says, I am going to be a responder of what God does. So, here's what I want us to do. I know they're figuring it out, so I'm going to give them a second. And I gave you guys, oh man, I got 15 more minutes. Y'all sit down. I'm just kidding. Some of y'all checked out right there. Nah, I'm good. When you leave here tonight, whatever you need to do, This opportunity is open to walk in these altars. And I don't want you coming up here and crying. Now, you can if you want. That's your choice. But whatever you need to do to leave here knowing God is with me. I'm not facing this by myself. I'm not trying to figure out all the ins and the outs by myself. I'm not walking alone. Jesus is with me. His angels are encamped about me. He knows the way that I'm taking, and he is guiding my footsteps. So here's what I want us to do. I don't know if my voice is good to sing. We don't got to sing. He's just going to play real loud. Can you play the drums on this? No? Hey, we got some time, or I got like 12 minutes left right now. Yeah, let's build it up. I like that. He's like, what in the world is this preacher doing? I can tell you what this preacher is doing. The preacher is speaking to the atmosphere right now. That's what the preacher is doing. He's done preaching to you. Now he's preaching to the atmosphere, and he's telling the prince of the air, you don't have authority here. You don't have authority in this church. You don't have authority. We speak the name of Jesus. We're laying down the sacrifice right now. You don't have any power here. There's miracles here. There's power here. We're free here. There's liberty here. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of Jesus. Come on, why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you stomp your feet? Why don't you lift your voice? Let's break the atmosphere. We're coming for our miracle. We're coming for freedom. We're coming for it. My dream is not for sale. Come on, why don't you continue to do that right now? Jesus is breaking through right now. There's a breakthrough here right now. Jesus is working right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, I can feel you believing it. I can feel you buying into it. I can see it happening right now.